We hope you open your Bible today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Today on this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast, we'll be studying through that chapter in three segments. And so this first segment is verses 1 through 5, and we hope that you'll study along with Mark and Paul as they look into the Word of God and we share a few minutes of truth.
Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Welcome to another edition of Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. We're so glad that you have joined us today as we open up the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul has been emphatic here about what great Christians these believers are, about how they have been faithful in the face of great persecutions, how even when the going was very tough, these Christians truly kept going. They were being faithful to God even with the persecutions, and even in the absence of Paul not being able to be there. But even these incredibly strong Christians receive some encouragement from Paul, and some encouragement that he's going to send their way, beginning in chapter 3 in verse 1. And today we'll study down through verse 5. My name is Paul Adams, and Mark Schatz is now going to read those verses.
Chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain."
Mark, I was noticing as you read that Paul here is writing in anticipation of great persecution. He says that there were things that he had warned them about that were going to happen, and they did happen. Some increasingly strong persecution that they were going to have to persevere. He begins this by saying we could no longer endure it. What was it that he could no longer endure?
Well, if you remember the last radio program we had, when we looked at the last few verses of chapter 2, there Paul talked about how that he wasn't there with them physically, but he was there in spirit with them, and that he hoped to see them soon face to face so that he could see how they were doing and be encouraged by them. And he refers to them as his crown and his joy. And it rolls right into chapter 3 here, and he talks about it. He says, "Therefore, when we could endure it no longer," when he knew he wasn't going to be able to go himself and see them face to face like he wanted, but he wanted to hear how they were doing. He wanted someone to see them face to face, to encourage and strengthen them, to see how they were doing. When they could endure it no longer, they send Timothy to go and do some things for these saints. And what is it, Paul?
Well, let's just also observe that it was a great compliment to Timothy. Paul wants to be there desperately. He can't go, so who could he possibly send? As he says in another place, there's no one like Timothy, no one like-minded who would care for them. And so Paul sends Timothy, says here, to establish and encourage you concerning your faith. Now, Mark, I thought that we've read over and over again in this chapter about how strong these Christians are, but yet Paul says that he's sending someone to establish and encourage them in their faith.
Yeah, I think this is an important point and an important lesson for us as we look at this. He's talked about how strong they were. He's talked about how they've become imitators of him and Christ. He's talked about how they have grown, and their example has just been great for other people, that he doesn't even have to say a thing because they've heard about these saints and they've seen their example. And he also talked in chapter 2 about how that they had gone through persecutions. He said they had endured persecutions and afflictions, and they were strong. So without a doubt, these saints at Thessalonica are strong saints. But yet Paul, in his wisdom, knows that even strong Christians need to be strengthened further and need to be encouraged, because Satan doesn't give up after just one try. And we have to make sure that we can endure and continue enduring. What do you think about that as we look at this, Paul?
Exactly. It sounds like Paul is concerned that the continuing persecution might wear down Christians who were strong. Great lesson for us here. Just because someone's strong doesn't mean that they don't also need encouragement and help. We sometimes think, who is it that needs to be built up? Who needs to be encouraged? Who needs to be established? Well, it's that weak person. Yes, they do. But the strong don't need to be neglected either, because Satan can wear on them and can wear them down so that they might be shaken, or they might be disturbed, the New American Standard says, by afflictions that come upon them. And Paul says, you yourselves know that you've been destined for this. They have to remain faithful. It's their goal. It's their obligation. It's their responsibility to overcome this. And so they need that kind of boost and encouragement to stay faithful. Mark, we read there before that he mentions that they would suffer persecution and that these things had come to pass. And so Paul further says that besides encouraging them and building them up and helping them to be stronger, what's his other reason for sending Timothy?
He wanted to find out about their faith. In verse 5, he says, "For this reason, when I can endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain." He'd heard all these great things about him, and he just wanted to send somebody like Timothy to have the face-to-face, somebody that could come and could look at him, could talk to him, could see how they were really doing. And he was afraid that maybe they weren't doing as well as he had thought, or he was afraid that maybe the tempter had just wore away at him, like he talked about. And he wanted to make sure with Timothy's face-to-face with them that they were still being strong and that his labor wasn't in vain.
As you think about that, Paul sees there that he and Silvanus need to stay in Athens, but he sends Timothy along to check on these brethren, to encourage them, but also to report back to Paul and to see that they are progressing and they are staying strong. They're not giving in to these troubles. Now, Mark, there's one other phrase I thought we might discuss today, and Paul says that he's sending Timothy to find out and to encourage and to do all these things, that our labor might not be in vain. He's talking about the labor that he did there at Thessalonica with these brethren, teaching the gospel, helping them to become Christians. How might his labor be in vain?
Well, his labor would be in vain if they fell away and if they weren't faithful to Christ. If they'd started out on the race with their eye firmly on the goal of pleasing God and going to heaven, and they were tempted along the way, or they got tired along the way, or they made a mistake and they fell to temptation along the way and they sinned and they fell away and didn't make it to their goal, that's his labor would be in vain.
So let's consider some good applications of these five verses today. One is that even the strong need encouragement and need to be strengthened. So just because someone's strong doesn't mean they can't be stronger. Just because they have endured in the past doesn't mean that they don't need encouragement to endure in the future. That even the strong can be worn down over time. That is another danger. And so if you've been faithful for a long time, you can take great encouragement from that. But don't let your guard down. Remain strong. And know this, that if you give up, if you give up your faith, if you turn away from serving God, that labor that others have put into you and that you put into serving God, if you fall away, that is in vain and you'll be lost. We're so glad you've joined us today. We hope you'll continue to study with us. Mark and I enjoy these Bible studies so much and enjoy sharing the Word of God with you. And we hope you'll join us again next time for a few more minutes of truth.
In this second segment today, we'll be looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue through that chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. We hope that you'll continue to study with us as we look at this chapter.
Welcome to this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. Mark Schatz is here, and my name is Paul Adams, and we are ready to study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Now, Mark, as we were thinking about how Paul has laid out his message to them so far, we see that Paul is very encouraged by this group of Christians. When he departed from them, they had been under great persecution, but we see that they did not give up, and Paul cared for them a great deal. We talked about how he was like a nurturing mother, and he was like a father who was instructing his children to these people, to these Christians, and he was trying to help them along the way, and how their conversion was true. And at the end of chapter 2, we see that Paul was longing to see them, and as we get into chapter 3, we see there that Paul was concerned about the persecutions, the tribulations they had been undergoing, but that he was confident that they were going to be faithful in the Lord. Isn't that an important thing, to have that kind of confidence in brethren?
Yeah, he had confidence in them that they would continue to be faithful and be a good example to others. But he did long to see him, and he wondered about him. And like a father would with a child, maybe you're confident in them, but you still worry about them a little bit. And you see Paul doing that. He's worrying about them a little bit, that maybe Satan could get an advantage over them and tempt them and would cause them some troubles. And in chapter 3, we looked at the first five verses previous, but you see Paul describing that. And he says that he sends Timothy to check on them and to see how they're doing. And what we're going to see now when we look at it today is that Timothy comes back and Timothy gives his report to Paul about these saints at Thessalonica and how they're doing.
Well, Mark, let's look at what Timothy's report was and what Paul's reaction to that report is. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 8.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, going down through 8, we'll read it. It starts and it says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord."
As we talked about this passage, Mark, as we were thinking about some good points to bring out from this, we see that in that time of persecution, they could have made them worse, but instead it made them better. It could have turned their attitude to be a very negative one. And what we see that instead of being bitter, they became better. And Mark, what is the good news that Timothy brought back?
Well, the good news that he brought back, you can see in verse 6. He brought back good news about their faith, that their faith had not been shaken, that their faith was strong, that the tempter hadn't taken advantage of their situation and whispered temptations in their ear to weaken their faith or decrease their faith. They were as strong as they ever were, and they were improving. And Timothy brings that good news home. He also brings good news about their love. And you see that these saints are so wonderful in the way they love one another. They could have had hard feelings about Paul. They could have, you know, if they'd listened to the Satan and the tempter, they could have thought, well, Paul just came in here, stirred up all this trouble, and when it got really hot, he just left. But Timothy brings back good news. Not only is their faith standing firm, but the love that they have for others. They've not become bitter. They've become better, like you talk about. The love that they have for others is alive and thriving, and Timothy brings that news back. And Paul makes it even a little more personal. He says, "And that you always think kindly of us." You know, when we undergo trials or troubles or temptations or persecutions like these saints did, when we have problems in our lives, sometimes we do get bitter, and that affects the way we view other people. But it looks like these saints in Thessalonica, they did not get bitter. They thought kindly of Paul. They thought kindly of us. And not only did they think kindly, they longed to see him also. And that was really good news, he says, that Timothy had brought back to them.
Absolutely. That here, as he's concerned for them, Paul, we find out, is having his own tribulations, his own struggles that he's dealing with. And this has such a powerful impact on Paul as he writes to them. And here, maybe he's sitting there and he's feeling a little downhearted, feeling a little discouraged. And here we see that Timothy brings back this report. And it was really interesting the way the New American Standard renders verse 8. For now we really live. The King James, New King James says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Paul here, realizing how strong they were in the Lord, it breathed new life into the work that he was doing, into his attitude toward the Lord's work. And here we see that that was a powerful influence. Mark, you see the mutual benefit of that, the benefit to the Philippians, the benefit to Paul.
Yeah, they were in their own struggles, they were in their own afflictions and everything, but they look and they see, and they have their faith strong and they're firm, and Paul can see that, and that strengthens him who's also in afflictions. So you have these two groups, as you were, of saints. And they're both undergoing problems. They're both undergoing trials. And they could give in to those trials and problems and become bitter towards one another. But they don't. And notice how, because they don't become bitter, they don't give in to their own self problems. They look at their problems and they think, they start feeling sorry for themselves. That's the word I'm looking for. But they did not do that. When they don't do that, no bitterness, no feeling sorry for yourself, just keeping your faith strong, your love active, then that strengthens others who are even in a similar situation. And we've talked earlier about the good effect that has on one another, the way Christians can treat one another and strengthen one another, even when they're both in maybe not ideal situations when you look at that. It's interesting to me, Paul, you look at this, the think kindly of us, the longing to see us, just as we long to see you. And verse 7, Paul says, for this reason, brethren, in all of our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. I really like verse 8, Paul, the way it's rendered here in the New American Standard I'm using, because it says, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. You can live your life as a Christian, and you can have problems, and you can have troubles. But when you see that by you being faithful, it encourages other people to be faithful, even in problems and troubles and trials and afflictions. That's really living in Christ, not just existing in Christ, not just barely getting by, but when you have love, you have faith, no matter what's going on in your life, and you spread that to others, then you really live in Christ.
Mark, I was thinking about that, and isn't it interesting that Paul considers that good news? What he might have thought was good news was that some of his persecution was going away, or even their persecution was going away, but that's not the case. What is good news is that in the face of affliction and distress, that Paul found comfort and help, encouragement and aid in the fact of knowing that they were faithful, and they could know that Paul was faithful in his own struggle. And here you put that together, and you see that's what was really encouraging. And Paul said, if it's that you stand fast in the Lord, that's when we can really live. We can really know. We can really be strong. Agree?
Agree.
Excellent. We hope that you'll think about these things. And it may be that as you look at your life, that you're undergoing some trials, some struggles, some affliction. And as you undergo that, what good news could come into your life? Maybe it's the good news of the gospel, that there's hope. That it doesn't matter what those external circumstances are if you have hope in Christ. And we would love to talk with you about what it means to have hope in Christ so that regardless of the distress and the external stresses that are on you, that you can have that hope and you can be encouraged and you can have good news in your life. If you'd like to talk with us about that, send us an email at truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. truth@ellettsvillechurchofchrist.com. We really appreciate the fact that you joined Mark and I today for Bible study, and we hope you'll join us again next time for a few more minutes of truth.
And now we'll look at verses 9 through 13 of this same chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, as we conclude this chapter and today's Minutes of Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome to this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We are excited to be able to open up the Word of God, and we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 9 today, and we'll look at some different verses there. As we've looked at last time, that Paul has received this great encouraging report concerning the faith and love of the Thessalonians, how they always thought very highly of Paul, and they desired to see him, and Paul desired to see them. And we have this mutual respect, this mutual appreciation that Paul appreciated all that the Thessalonians had been through, and the Thessalonians appreciated all that Paul had been through, and that they were both encouraged and stirred up to greater things because they were still faithful. Mark Schatz is here. My name is Paul Adams, and we're going to begin with a reading of verses 9 and 10.
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith."
Mark, last time we talked about how Paul was so very thankful for everything about these Thessalonians, how strong they had been in the face of persecution, what a great example they were to others and to him. In fact, we see that Paul says that he really lived to see them stand fast in the Lord. It breathed new life into the work that he was doing when he heard about how faithful they were. But when we see that Christians are sometimes very faithful and very loving, they're doing all the right things, is there still room for growth?
Yeah, that's something that's interesting, Paul, about these saints and what Paul says about them here. Even if we go back to all the way to the beginning of the letter in chapter 1 and 2, we saw how wonderful these saints were, that they accepted the truth for what it really was. They obeyed it. They grew. And they spread the truth around. And they lived it to such that Paul talked about he didn't have to teach in places where these saints had been heard of or where they'd been, that their example had preceded him and had taught a great sermon. And even that caliber of people, it's interesting when we look at it at the end of verse 10 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says that he's praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. There's an interesting thing here. As wonderful as these people were, even during the persecution and afflictions, that their faith is strong and their love is strong enough that it encourages Paul, these people still need to continue growing. And that's a great lesson for us when we look at it, because sometimes people think that they get to a certain point spiritually and they don't have to grow anymore, or they think they know it all, or they think they've done everything they need to do. But you don't see that here. He says, "May complete what is lacking in your faith." So they had some more growing to do. Do you see that also, Paul?
I do, and it's really an exciting thing here because you might read about all these great things in chapters 1, 2, and 3 up to this point that we have seen about the Thessalonians, but here they are people who still need to grow in Christ. And sometimes we look at ourselves, maybe we've been Christians for many years, we still need to be growing. And in fact, Paul says, "I want to come to you so that I can complete what's lacking." But then in verses 11 through 13, he gives some instructions because he doesn't know if he will get to visit, and they don't know if he will get to visit. So he gives them some instructions about that growth. Mark, let's go ahead and read those passages in verses 11 through 13 of 1 Thessalonians 3.
Beginning in verse 11, Paul writes, "Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints."
So what we see here is Paul says that until I can get there, here are some things you can do to make sure that you're growing, you're increasing, you're doing better and better. He asks that the Lord give him, direct our way to you, give us that visit. But as we see there, he wants them to increase and abound in love to one another and to all. He wants them to be established in their faith, in their hearts, to be blameless and holy. Mark, do you see that as some instructions that will bring about growth?
Yeah, I see some instructions that brings about growth there in doing that. But one thing interesting here, we looked about that, and we've talked about these saints and how good they are and how their faith is strong and their love is strong and they're enduring afflictions. And we look at Paul, and, you know, he's the Apostle Paul, the way we usually view him, and he's enduring afflictions, and his faith is strong, and he's strengthened, and they have this effect. Last radio program, we talked about how saints can have this effect on one another to cause each other to grow and to love more and to be strengthened and comforted. But one thing really interesting is in verse 11 that I just noticed, he talks about and he really puts the focus on God. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you." Paul gives that humble submission to God. "I long to see you. I want to come. And I acknowledge that God will be the one to direct us to you if we come to you." And he continues that on in verse 12. He says, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you." But there's this acknowledgement that God is the source. God is the source for this growth. God is the source for this increase. God would be the source for this abounding in love. Sure, Paul wanted to come to them and do his part in strengthening them and completing what is lacking, but he acknowledged that they could do it by relying on God and looking to God as the source of all these things. And that's an important point here, and it helps you to understand why Paul remained so humble throughout his life that we can read in the scriptures, because he realized that in spite of all the work that Paul did, he acknowledged that God gave the increase and God gave the strength. God gave the abounding. God gave the love. God built people up into what they should be. And in verse 13, he talks about they may establish God, that he may establish. What do you think about all that, Paul?
Oh, I agree entirely, Mark. What great points you've brought out today in looking at this, that Paul had a desire. His desire was to get to Thessalonica. The Thessalonians had a desire. Their desire was that Paul would come to see them. But it was ultimately that God's will was done and that they could be strong because their faith was not in Paul. And Paul's faith was not in the Thessalonians. Their faith was in God. And God could strengthen them through that word that was being preached, through that teaching that was coming forth. Mark, I wanted to bring out one other thing before we're out of time today. And I want you to notice the focus and get your comments on it. The focus at the end of this, that one of the primary objective was that they would be in a right condition with God when Jesus would come.
Yeah, he finishes that up in verse 13. He says, "So that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints." No matter what we do in life, we should stay focused on that point, that we would be without blame in holiness when Lord Jesus comes. And when we have that focus, then these persecutions, these afflictions, these longings, these troubles, everything in our life will cause us to focus sharply on what God wants us to be in the final day.
As we look at that, Mark, we see here that Paul, there's a natural chapter break there at the end of verse 13, that Paul has this great desire. It is great when Christians appreciate one another, when they want to see one another strong, and their way in which they're pointing one another, the direction that they're pushing one another is toward faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, that they realize that that is where their real strength lies, and that's where the real hope is. We hope that you will join us next time as we press on in to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians as we study through this book that is part of God's Word. Thanks for joining us today, and join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.
This concludes our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and next week we'll plan to progress right on into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We hope that you'll join us then. We hope that you see the value in opening up the Word of God and studying the truth found therein. We look forward to studying each first day of the week from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on this radio station, WCLS 97.7 FM, that we can share together in the Word of God and we can share these minutes of truth. We appreciate you listening today. We hope you'll tune in each week and that you'll consider coming to visit us at the Ellettsville Church of Christ.